is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.
And welcome to Warn Radio. This is Sound the Shofar. It's Friday, the 23rd day of January 2015. And we are glad you've joined us. I am Tower. And Warn Radio is a production of WIVR, Warn Radio Ministries. We are an end-time preaching, teaching, and warning agency, which heralds in the second coming of Christ to the earth. Tonight on Warn Radio, Sound the Shofar, Surviving the Coming Afflictions, 2015, Part 3. Sound the Shofar is a place of fellowship, friendship, love, warning, exhortation, and on Friday night, we gather around to welcome in the Shabbat. We are in Christ Jesus and have made up our hearts and minds to live by faith in the Lord, no matter what. We are determined to meet all challenges head-on with the faith of Jesus Christ, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and living daily by God's Word. We gather tonight to listen to God's Word, encourage one another, and to rejuvenate ourselves in the presence of the Lord. We are in the last days, and you, my friend, are the remnant. We are closing the chapter on the book of Acts, and soon our Lord will appear. Be sure to check out all our websites. Go to www.warn-usa.com. www.warn-radio.com or www.wingswatchman.org for more headlines, top lead stories, the radio shows, and articles. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's wonderful to be able to gather here again tonight.
You know, it's Friday.
I'm glad.
You know, I'm ready for Friday.
Oh, me too.
You know, I'm glad.
Me too.
I've about had it with everything, so, well, at any rate, such is life in the fast lane.
Well, now we can shut off the world and rest and rejuvenate ourselves in the Lord.
Well, I'll tell you. You know, we don't have a TV, so... Well, I got one, but don't do nothing with it.
We're not hooked up to anything.
No. It's hooked up to my videos if I ever watch them, but, you know, it just sits up there. But we don't watch that.
I don't think we've turned it on in years. We haven't turned it on in years.
No, we do have Netflix where we get a lot of Christian programming. Actually, David White, who is a Christian movie maker, puts a lot of his stuff on Netflix. And so you can see, matter of fact, they've got a real good array of that Christian programming on there. But they've got a whole array of other things, too, including gay and lesbian. That usually don't pop up over in our neck of the woods because we, you know, we're not into that.
We've filtered it out.
Yeah, it's... You know, ours are other things. Well, at any rate, glad you joined us tonight. We're here on a Friday. We're counting down the end of January. And we have a lot of articles and stuff over on the website. If you haven't been over there, I urge you to do that and read those. I mean, there's a lot of stuff over there. A lot of interesting stuff. A lot of things that'll tell you, like, for instance, the interview that Pastor Abedini's wife had with President Obama. We've got that video on our website. And we also have other videos there, and we get quite a bit of this stuff. So check it out. Warn-USA.com, yeah?
Yes, yes. I was just going to put that link in there.
But, you know, that's, you know, I spend a lot of time doing that. But
Well, I was excited about that interview that Nagma Abedini had with President Obama, and she said it was took place in Boise, Idaho, and that because of much prayer and fasting that it took place, she said that President Obama was very engaging, and he was promised to do all he could, and their son looked at him and asked if he could please bring him home by his birthday in March, and Obama looked at the son and straightened the eyes and said he would do all he could to bring him home by his birthday, and Obama said it was going to be a top priority for him. So now maybe is the time for Saeed Abedini to come home. I sure hope so.
Well, yes, and WorldNet Daily, I didn't get a chance to tell you this, but they ran an article saying that Abedini was top priority. You know, the word is getting around through a lot of the other things. And, of course, WorldNet Daily has been one of them that have kept that covered. We've kept Abedini in the spotlight, and we have quite a number of articles and things on this on our website. You'll have to search for them. Nonetheless, it's one of those things that we've been praying. He's actually the last one. We had quite a number of them, you know, out of North Korea and of course, in Iran. And now we're waiting for Abedini to be released, but there's still a bunch of Christians in Iran, and they're persecuted quite profusely over there. And there are Christian pastors in prison with Abedini, the Ayatollah coming out and saying that they were a menace to the world, and something to that effect. I can't remember the exact phrase. I've got it on our site somewhere. And then there's other Christians in there, and there's Christians persecuted in Iran. And I've said this before, under Rouhani, actually persecution of Christians have been greater than under Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad was the one who talked about seeing the Mahdi, and the Mahdi had told him that Iran would play a major role. We've got the official Iranian video, Night of the Vulture, talking of Iran's role in bringing in the Mahdi. And so these are the things that are going on. This is the kind of place it is. But even though they did all that, they've been more persecuted under Rouhani, this new one there that many of the West think is someone you can deal with. Well, you can't. It's just their appearance outwardly. But the regime is still cracking down. And even China's cracking down, too. And so we see this in many areas as well. So, you know.
When you see more persecution happening, that's when God's kingdom gets more people in it under persecution. I've seen that and heard that and read that more people become saved.
Well, you know, usually when there's a lot of persecution, the churches grow. We saw that in China. But there are areas where persecution happens profusely. Yeah, like when ISIS came into an area and literally wiped out the Christians. I mean, they left. There wasn't any left in the whole area. They had gotten the word and they left as they were coming in. There were some Christians that didn't make it. But overall, you know, you can see Christians that are extinct, almost extinct, in many sense
That's
of
so
the word.
That's so tragic.
Because, for instance, you know, the ISIS thing, Boko Haram's the same way. Now, see, this is what we've talked about all along, and that is you have one arm now and that is the arm of the caliphate that goes back to the Sunni side of Muhammad, while the Shia are waiting for the Mahdi. So you have two major ones. If these two groups ever unite to bring in one caliphate Mahdi type person, then it will be one huge battle. It will be a literal nightmare. See, right now you have the Sunnis battling, you know, other Muslims. But if you ever get this Mahdi, this figure, supernatural, that's going to appear to really come and unite them under his banner, it's going to be, you're going to see things in this whole world that, frankly, you won't want to see, not as a Christian anyway. This is... We are on this train, folks. I mean, that's all there is to it. And tonight we will be talking about finishing up Surviving the Coming Afflictions. This is part three. I have a little bit to finish. So Tower and I were talking about this last week. I'm going to finish it tonight. And then I've got a few other things I want to add to it, talk about and discuss, and then we'll be done. We will be going to a one-hour Sabbath Shabbat. It'll be 6:30 to 7:30. This will be designed to be something primarily to welcome in the Sabbath, to get some in-depth teachings, because we have quite a few people that actually use this with us. They listen to this and. You know, in regard to the Sabbath, and we've got a number of things. So it'll be 1 hour. Our Thursday program, we will have a Thursday program back, but it will be 3 hours, and we are focusing on, a lot of the news headlines and in interviews. I'm still working on the interviews. They're hard to, right now. I haven't done them in a long time. So people aren't used to me contacting them regarding that. I've interviewed a lot of people, and then we wanted to get more into this other stuff, which we have done. And then we will finalize it with special presentations, which I did one not too long ago, and special features and things like that. So it'll be a 3-hour program on Thursday, 1 hour on Friday night. That'll give us 4 hours a week. We're going to be looking for other avenues because we want to reserve blog talk for these things. And then we're going on the front of our site. We do have 1,000 episodes finally showing. So we will be
celebrating. That's exciting.
Yeah, we will be celebrating the 1,000th episode, 1,000 episodes on blog talk. And so we'll be doing that in the future, but at any rate, Tower and I are really, really praying, and we pray for Abedini all the time, every day, among others. We pray for, this is not, this is just what we do. We pray for those in bonds, and as well as regular believers who aren't in bonds, we remembered Abedini every day. There's many that are in prison like Abedini. He's not the only one, but he has gotten a lot of press, and we would like to see him get out of there.
Yes, we sure would.
He is
the sooner
the
better.
Yeah, he is a young man, a young preacher. His wife is young, and, he's got a family. So it'd be nice to get him reunited with his family. And
yes, amen.
But I also have, I'm concerned about the pastors and the Christians that are Iranian, that are in Iran, that live there. And there's a number of them that are in prison. And, I'll tell you, when you're in Iran and you're a Christian like that, they don't really care whether or not you get out of that prison alive. especially if you're not going to become a Muslim.
Yeah, they don't care one bit.
No, they don't. So, you know.
They just didn't kill you.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we are in those day, this day and hour. And, you know, these people need to be out of the prison in order to work for the Lord. We need them out of the prisons.
Amen.
There will come a time when we can't work, but for right now, the word needs to go forth. And that's about all there is to that. But at any rate,
it's not over yet.
Yeah, it's not. At any rate, we are in January and glad to be getting through this.
Every day gets a little closer to spring. That's exciting to me. Get ready for planting and.
Yep. Yep, and.
And the nice weather and.
Yeah, we do look forward to that, and.
But our winter hasn't been bad so far.
No. But you know, when I think about. Everything that's been going on, you know, I'm looking at 2015, and we still have blood moons. We've got two more of those left to go. Passover, you know, and then in the fall feast.
Yes.
And 2014 blood moon. I mean, 2014 was a bloody year.
Oh, it was horrible.
And we reported from ICC in the figures that they were giving. In India, for instance, which we report on a lot over there, we report on India and Pakistan a lot. There's a lot of persecution going on there. The Hindus in India continually, they've been doing this for, you know, forever. But this year they took a special case up to wipe the Christians out, especially during Christmas. And they said that in 2014 there was 7,000 acts of terrorism and things against Christians there in India.
Dear Lord,
and they expect expected to get only worse. So, you know, in 2015, if something isn't done, and the reason they do that is because of the the BPJ, I can't think of all of it. It's the Hindu Nationalist Party. They are in power now. And they were afraid that when they got in power that the Hindus would take it upon themselves to do things like this. And that's just what they've done. So, you know, India is a mess. Pakistan, you know, we've been reporting on that. And they had that young couple that was burned to death, among other things.
We left their family. They had several small children.
King Abdullah is dead. They've got one of his, can't remember how he's related, but the guy that replaced him is 80 years old. And they don't see much.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they need these old guys in there to keep it the way it always is. So we'll see how he does. But there are, you know, there's Christians in jail in Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and they're friends of ours. They just don't get anybody to stand up for them like Abedini has. So there's Christians there that are in these places. We've talked about one of the ones in Egypt. He was a convert from Islam, and they threw him in prison there for certain things that he had done, which were all trumped up, of course. So,
of course.
You know, 2015 can look to be a very bloody year again, because 2014 for Christians was one of the bloodiest on record. And that's due to ISIS, and ISIS right now, I've got a big article up on that if you want to know what's happening over there. I've got a number of articles on that going over to the site, and you can read them. But this thing is ramping up, you know, we have Lebanon being threatened by ISIS. We have Israel, found them on the border. They have also some that they've actually thrown in jail because they have pledged allegiance to ISIS. We have Jordan. They had them on the border. Saudi Arabia had ISIS on the border. We have Nigeria, where Boko Haram is, who've declared a caliphate. They follow the thing of Baghdadi and ISIS. And so we see groups all over the Middle East literally picking up the mantle of ISIS, and it's spreading. It's not that ISIS is spreading. It's the same jihadists, only they're just declaring allegiance to ISIS. It makes it look like ISIS is spreading, but it's the name is spreading, but there's not any more. It's all the same people. But at any rate, if you get that, the Mahdi that Iran is looking for to show up, and he gets this, and if we see the supernatural character, now they literally expect to see him. I've written on the God of Chaos, and the principle of chaos is that in order to bring in peace, any kind of a peace or any kind of a system, you got to have chaos. This is something that the communists worked on. This is exactly what Hitler did. This is what they did in Russia. This is what they did in China. Any place, it's an unwritten rule that if you want to overthrow the government, you got to bring in chaos, get the people in a strait as bad as you can get them, then they'll be ready to change. And this is why they do chaos. So this one figure that they're waiting for is waiting for this chaos, and Aminajad talked about that. So if he ever shows up, and then if he does show up, if you see him arrive on this earth, which they're expecting him to, then he is not going to be battling other Muslims. He will do something, and more than likely they will join under the mantle of this guy. I mean, it's just... You know, it's like we're waiting for the Lord, but all these other characters are showing up. I mean, you know, it's
crazy.
Yeah, it is. And so at any rate, you're in the last days, folks. You really are, and we are going to be seeing the Lord. And we have to keep our wits about us, the Spirit of God about us, and the Word of God about us, because, you know, we're going to have a lot of enemies before this is over. And you don't want the Lord God to be one of them. And
that's
so,
for sure.
But at any rate, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm waiting for summer. I plan on doing some gardening and fishing and other things. I always say fishing every year. I never get to do it, but
maybe we will this year.
Yeah. Well, I've got a lot of things on the agenda to do, a ton of things. And we've been really busy around here. We still have some changes that we got to do with the websites and things. And so at any rate, we're glad you joined us. And you know, I think we need to get ready to do this, Tower.
Okay. Okay, readings in the Word this week are Exodus, starting at chapter 10, verses 1 through chapter 13, verse 16, Jeremiah, chapter 46, verses 13 through 28, and 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verses 20 through 34. Being prepared is an ongoing task, and doing it as we can afford it can be challenging. That is why Warren Radio has its very own bug out store. You can visit our bug out store, where we have too many items to list, by going to wingswatchman.org, where we have some special links to our inventory, like emergency items, radios, Bibles, extreme survival items, and survival food. So do yourself a favor and bug on over to our Bug Out Survival Store. Go to wingswatchman.org. And get in on everything going on at the WIBR Warren Radio by following us on Twitter. You can follow Warren Radio at hashtag Warren Radio or hashtag WGS underscore Watchman. And you can follow the Watchman at hashtag WIS or hashtag Watchman IS216. And now I welcome back in the Watchman for the rest of tonight's teaching on Surviving the Coming Affliction 2015, Part 3.
Thank you, Tower. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless your word to our hearts. I ask for your anointing to be able to preach and teach this word, and your anointing on the hearts of those who hear it, that they can understand it and receive it. I send forth this anointed word across the phone lines, the internet connection, to the uttermost part of the earth. Let this word enter into the hearts of those who hear it. I ask that you would add the increase, and in Jesus' name I bind you, Satan, from the preaching, teaching, and streaming of this word. In all parts of this broadcast, in Jesus' name, you are bound. Amen. Surviving the Coming Afflictions, 2015. I can't believe it's 2015. And I can't believe that since we took up the mantle to warn specifically about what was coming to America, we've been doing this over 17 years now. And we've gotten over 1,000 episodes just on Blog Talk alone. But we're still not ready yet, you know, to say, well, the Lord's going to be here tomorrow. There's still a lot of things that need to be done. A lot of prophecies. Now, in America, we are going to be no different than the nations. Now, because of what we are and who we are, it'll be a little different. But yet, we're going to have to go through it. And I think tonight that, you know, when we look at how much blood was shed last year, and we see what's going on this year, God help us when this thing really gets moving. It just, without God's grace and strength, there's no way you're going to make it anyway. But see, the essence to what we're doing, and tonight we're going to be summing this up. Prudence. The struggle. Prudence, when we talk of that, in its essence, is a well-considered, carefully thought-out design, plan, or conclusion. And the thing that I like, you know, if we get into Matthew 10, the Lord sent out the 12. And in verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and in any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's one of the first things that you have to understand about the gospel. It was to go to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were going to be able to be grafted in. And they were. And the Gentiles took the gospel and ran with it. Matter of fact, they made it almost their own. Well, in fact, they did. And even today, people in America and other parts of the world do push replacement theology. Israel is no more, they say. But you see, eventually, the Gentiles were told. The Gentiles were included. But while the Lord was here, walking these streets, he went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in verse 7 it says, and as you go, speaking to the 12 again, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now you see, when the Lord came, the kingdom of God was at hand. He was there. He represented that kingdom of heaven. He was the key reason that people could get grafted in, people could have that hope, because he was going to be the one dying on the cross. And to the Jews in Israel, that was paramount. The kingdom of heaven was finally at hand. And there were those outside of the Sanhedrin and the chief priests that saw the Lord, heard him preach, and believed upon him. Now, the main ones in, you know, the chief priests, the Sanhedrin, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, many of them didn't believe. There were some believers in there, like Nicodemus, but there was a lot of them that weren't. And as he continued to preach, people plotted within the synagogue on how to get rid of him. But you see, today, you and I, we're here. And we are at the epic center of the end of days. We are in that time frame when the kingdom of heaven is literally at hand. Scripture tells us that when you see all these things begin to come to pass, that is the signs, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Now, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how terrible it gets, no matter how wicked it gets, and it's already wicked and it's already terrible in many places, but in America, there's many places that are doing good. And especially today, gas was at $1.88 a gallon. Now, that's okay until people start laying off, and then the economy starts going the other way. We're not out of the woods. It's going to be tough. But the Lord is coming. But so's the Antichrist. And he ain't going to come until the Antichrist comes. Now, there is a lot of believers that believe they're going to be taken out before that. But it's not going to happen. And as much as they don't like me to say it, I say it. It don't do them any good for me to lie. Well, you're mistaken, Watchman. No, I'm not. I'm not mistaken. I'm not going to argue. I simply tell you. But you see, he spoke to the 12 saying, go, preach, tell them the kingdom of heaven is here. Now you see, today, do you know what the Spirit of God is telling you, Christian? Go, preach, testify, tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is the heaven of our God and our Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who gave us of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, was dead and buried, resurrected from the dead, was seen alive by many infallible proofs and witnesses, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and is coming again. That's our duty. In verse 8, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now see, I believe we need to do that. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, I believe there will be a remnant in these last days. I have taught that for years. There will be. And I believe that God is telling that remnant, go, preach, testify, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and when you go, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely you have received and freely give. Thank you, Lord. Now, it's up to you now. You need to picture this by faith and believe. But you need to be fasting and praying. We need to prepare our hearts. Because if you can't believe this, then you're going to be in trouble. It doesn't mean if you can't see it, particularly, that it's going to be worse for you. But I'm telling you right now that this remnant in the last days will see miraculous things happen. Miraculous. Beyond this stuff here. Miraculous. Just like Philip. Miraculous. He was taken by the Spirit. Instant transportation through the Spirit of God. And he became next to the Ethiopian eunuch who was in a chariot. He ran alongside. Philip told him what the scripture meant because he was asked. The Ethiopian eunuch believed it. He was baptized, and Philip was instantly transported. That's going to happen in the last days. You may be in one place, and the Spirit of God says, you need to go over here. You may be surrounded by hordes of Muslims that want to cut your bloody head off, and all of a sudden you're gone. Now I'm telling you this because you can't limit God. Because this isn't just a religion. This is the truth. That your God is the God. And that's what you have to believe. You have to rise above denominationalism. You have to rise above the Gentile status quo. And you have to enter into the remnant of the last days and believe and put action with that belief. Further, verse 9, he says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Now you see, when we go places, we take things. You look at yourself, okay? Be honest. When you're going on a trip, you take along your credit cards, you know, you have your suitcases packed, you got your toothbrush, and you got plenty of toothpaste, and you got your shoes and socks. I mean, you got everything. You figure out where you're going to get gas, you figure out where you're going to have lunch, you got a budget. Now, my dad used to take us every year we'd go on a vacation. Every year. 2-week vacation to California to see my granddad. He had a cattle ranch. My uncle was a fireman, and he had a beautiful swimming pool. And I love both places. Plus, my uncle would take me fishing. And we caught some big striped bass and other things. So I liked going out there. And every year, when Mom and Dad would go, Dad would get out the pencil. And there was so much that he had so much to spend here. And he could have one meal out every day, and it was usually breakfast. And other than that, Mom was on the back of the Studebaker or something. She would cook on a little Coleman stove, and that was where she cooked. Even in the rain, I've got pictures of her standing in the rain underneath a little thing that Dad had erected, and she's there cooking. That was in the old days. We couldn't always afford to get a motel or something. But we still went, and we made it. Every year we went on that vacation. Now you see, he looks at the disciples, the 12, And he says, don't take gold or silver or brass in your purses. Take nothing. So we're talking about the economy. One of these days, the economy is going to go down to nothing. There's not going to be anything. You wake up and your money, you might as well use it to start a fire because it's not going to be worth anything. Your dollar bill, it will be worthless. That day is coming, folks. Now, I'm here to tell you something. If you listen through the Spirit, and we're talking about well laid out plans, prudence, with faith, we believe. The Lord told them, don't put anything in your purses. Don't take anything with you, script, money, for your journey. Don't take any coats, shoes, nothing. Because wherever you go and you preach the kingdom of God, you're a workman and you're worthy of your meat, and people will provide for you. That's what they were to do. Now today, it may be a little bit different. Because we are living in the time of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the people will reject the love of the truth. That is the Lord coming and dying on the cross. They will follow the Antichrist. So it may be a little bit different in that respect. You may have a little harder time finding those people who would want to listen. But yet I believe there's a remnant, and I believe that when this thing goes down, that God will make a way. You have to believe, folks. And verse 11, into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire in it who is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not, let your peace return to you, unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So when you're going, you go into a town and you find right away who is respectable. Who is the one that, you know, always helps out people. The one that has the compassion. Somebody that's trustworthy. Now see, in the old days, in my, you know, growing up, I knew everybody on the block. We knew the people. I knew the Vandervoorts, whose dad ended up being the vice president of the bank. And when Tower and I got married, I could walk in there and get a loan by just signing my name. Because I knew him. He knew me. They weren't worried about the money. Now today, it's different. You got to sign your life away and pay high interest. But see, when we go, when this thing begins to go down, you can't worry about not having money, not having food. Even Paul says, having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. So you have to be prepared to be the remnant. You have to be prepared because this thing is coming down and people are not going to be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark. Now, but you see, for those 12, when they would go in to a city and they find out who was worthy and they'd go to the house and they'd introduce themselves, and if they were worthy, in other words, if they were truly had that compassion and would take you in, you could go into it. And you can feel that. If you're welcomed and they treat you, you know, as such, then you can let your peace be into this. You can bless this house with your peace. But if this house is vindictive, if it's hateful, if it doesn't want to help you, you bring your peace back to you. Your peace will literally return to you if that house is unworthy. Now, you've been in a house that you feel real comfortable in. I've also been in homes that I haven't been comfortable in. But see, even the Mormons used to do this. They probably still do. And so do the Seventh-day Adventists. I mean, the Jehovah Witnesses, rather. Shaking the dust off your feet as a sign. Of course, that doesn't do any good if they're not watching, because it will be more tolerable in judgment because of how they treated you. But the best thing of it is that when you shake off the dust off your feet and they see you, then they, if they know anything about Scripture, they'll know exactly what you're doing. And so if you're going in, and especially in the last days, and this is where the remnant, you know, when we talk about this, if you go back to the Roman Empire, when persecution was really bad for the Christians, and they would, many of them went under, you know, under Rome in order to stay in the catacombs, in order to be safe. But if you're going to travel around anywhere in the Roman Empire, that's where the sign of the fish came in, and they would draw a half sign, and the believer would draw the other half sign. Because the only people that you could trust would be another brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord. And see, in this time that's coming, that's exactly what you're going to have to do. You're going to understand that God is going to have groups everywhere, but he'll also have a whore church who will be manipulated by the Antichrist and by the system itself. You won't be a friend of theirs unless you do what they do. But you see, when you go into that town and you find that faithful brother or sister, you can stay there ministering and teaching and living and praying and witnessing until God calls you to the next city. But the one thing he told them was in verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." See, and I think this is really important. You know, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. They will devour you. If you look at the Christians that were in there when ISIS went through, ISIS slaughtered them like sheep. And they literally did in some countries. That's exactly what they did. They set up a system like a butcher. This is a true story. And this butcher would sit there, and the Christians would come through, and they would bring them in because they wouldn't repent. And it was like a butcher shop, slaughtering them. But it says, you may be like a sheep in the midst of wolves, but, he says, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Wise. And he follows up with some examples. The next verse, 17, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues," which they did do to the apostles, and they did do to the early church. And in this day that's coming, you will beware of men, especially if you're fleeing. You watch out who you're showing yourself to. Even if you're hungry, you need to beware of who you trust. And sometimes the only way you can know this is if you're fasting and praying and you're getting guidance from the Spirit of God. because they will deliver you up to councils to be scourged or to be killed. And in this day and age, we know what that's going to be. Because the Antichrist, or you can say the beast in Revelation 13, will make war against the believers. Those who keep the commandments of God and the faith and testimony of Jesus Christ. And there will also be a religious element to this. There will be the whore church, which will also persecute you. And he says, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Now you see, it's interesting. It says, for a testimony against them, meaning the governors and kings and the Gentiles. Now, the early part of the Christian church was Jews. Your Savior was a Jew. The apostles were Jews. On the day of Pentecost, the Jews are the ones that got saved, 3,000 of them. It was after all this, and after Stephen got martyred, that Paul, a Jew, a Pharisee, became saved when he saw the Lord. And he was sent specifically to the Gentiles. But you see, when he sent these out at this time, they were not to go into the areas of the Gentiles, because he had to first fulfill the scripture to the Jews first. That's what he had to fulfill. But he's telling them now, you're going to be going forth as sheep amidst wolves, but be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of the men. And that's why he said that. He says, be wise as serpents. Beware of men. Just don't trust everybody. Because people will be out there to deliver you counsels and scourge you. In our case, to behead you, to kill you. And if you're in Iraq or Syria today, where ISIS is moving around, you know exactly what this verse means. You stay out of sight. Because if you see a truck with an ISIS banner on it, and you see some men in it, and they see you, they're going to come and get you. And they have been known many, many times to wipe out entire tribes of Muslims. So just being a Muslim, even with ISIS, doesn't even mean you're going to live. So one thing we know is that through ISIS, we are getting a picture on what life can be like. Now the Christians, what they wound up doing is getting out of Dodge. Now see, that works if you can do it. Now they're up in an area with the Peshmerga. The Peshmerga are Muslims, but they are there fighting other Muslims called ISIS. Because they don't like what ISIS is doing. They're destroying the land and the country, and they don't like what they're doing to the Yazidis, Christians, and other minorities, not to mention other Muslims. So they are fighting ISIS. But by the time you and I get to this point where the Antichrist is, you're going to be hated of all nations. This will actually, when it gets at worst, it will be in that little phrase called the time of the night, when no man can work. Now that's literally the way it is in a number of countries today. North Korea is one of them. That's the time of the night there. They're in darkness. You can't work as a Christian because they'll find you out. They'll kill you instantly. They'll put you in one of their camps. You might as well be dead. Then you have ISIS. You have Boko Haram. In some of these areas where these people operate, it's the time of the night. In Mosul, it's really the time of the night because there's no Christians left there. And the Christians are saying that even if ISIS moves out, there's no way they can go back. Because, see, they had houses before they left. But when they left, ISIS took all the houses away from them when they left, and they gave them to other Muslims. So they don't have the original papers anymore. They have no homes to go back to, no land, no nothing. So he's telling them to be wise as serpents. Now see, this is very important for you and I, because we need to think, and that's where that prudence comes in, that's where the Spirit of God comes in, that's where your fasting and prayer comes in. You have to have everything clicking. Now during the time of Hitler, it was the time of the night for the Jews there. And it got so bad during Hitler's reign that if you were a Jew anywhere in the ruling areas of Nazis, there's practically no way to escape. And he goes on to say in verse 19, but when they deliver you up. Now see, beware of men, for they're going to deliver you up. And you're going to be brought before the governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them, because you are to testify to the governors and to the kings. So that when whatever they're going to do to you, they do, your testimony will be there. Your testimony is the conviction. Because the Lord will know what they've done to you and will hear your testimony, which convicts them of what they've done. They were told and they did it anyway. And he says, but when they do deliver you up, and of course this is for his sake, remember, take no thought on how or what you shall speak. For it'll be given you that in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now see, all these things are prudent issues. Also, the Spirit of God is involved here. But it tells you, step by step in this, what they were facing, what they were to do. You know, you go out, you go into an area, find someone trustworthy, you abide with them, let your peace remain, and if they're not worthy, you take your peace back and leave and go find someone else. And if you can't find someone in that town, you go to the next town. When they persecute you in this town, you go to another one, and we'll get to that. Nowhere, nowhere does it say you stay in that church and meet at the same time, all the time, so your enemy knows when you're going to meet, so they can kill you easily. And we see that over and over and over and over again overseas. And we've seen the Hindus, radical Hindus that's killed Christians, they did that because they know exactly when the Christians are meeting. The early church wasn't like that. The early church, especially during the time of the persecutions, they were underground, they were anywhere. But in order to find them, you had to look, because it was open season on Christians. And I can tell you today, it's open season on Christians in Pakistan, in many of the Hindu, radical Hindu areas, in Nigeria, where Boko Haram has set up the caliphate, in even in southern Sudan, that used to be a Christian one, but now it's divided, and they had civil war there, Libya, Syria, Iraq, and the list goes on. See, they were meeting house to house in Jerusalem. And when you read the Gospels, when you read the epistles, it says to the house. To them that are in, to the house. There's those that are in Corinth. There's those who are in Ephesus. They meet in a house or a couple of houses. Pass this letter among you. See, and this is very important. Because these people believe that the essence of your religion is in that church. And so they will burn it down, even if it's just bamboo rods and leaves over the top and you're meeting underneath it. They will burn it down. But see, that's not. The essence of what we believe is this. The kingdom of God is within us. Where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. See, this is how you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to figure out one thing. Being comfortable with not having what you had before. Because it's going to be gone. And when they take you up and you are finally delivered before those, you are going to be castigated. They are going to hate you. They're going to speak evil of you. But you don't worry about it. You seek the Lord. You may be put in the jail and you're there with people and you're lined up right next to one another. It may be stinky and dark and damp. And you have got to figure out how to pray with people on top of you. You got to figure out how to get in touch with God in the middle of a 6x9 cell with a bunch of other people with you. And the Lord simply says, when they deliver you up, don't worry. Don't think about it. It will be given to you in that same hour. Because it's not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. See, we are not like them. We're human, yes. But we are remnant. We are redeemed. We have the essence of the Father, His Spirit, in us. Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Those are believers. This is the remnant. Revelation 13:10, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. John 16:2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And we've had that throughout history. But we're really going to see it. Verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father the child, the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now this has happened throughout history. This happened during the time of Hitler. This happened during the Inquisition, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that dureth to the end shall be saved. Those enemies can be those of your own household, and we've already seen that in the Muslim areas. There are people that came to America because they got saved as Muslims, and today they're Christians, and they were disowned by their family, and if they would stay where they're at, they would wind up dead. So they came to America. But we're entering into the last days. And this is not going to go away. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, stay there. Don't go anywhere. That's not what it says. When they persecute you in this city, flee into another. Now see, he told this to the apostles. For verily I say unto you, shall not go over all the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now, that particular verse, he was telling them that if you go into these cities of Israel, they start to persecute you, go to the next one, and I'll join you later. You will not have gone through all the cities before I join you. I will be there with you. But you see, I also look at this verse and look at it. When they persecute you in this city, you flee into another. And if they persecute you there, you go to another. Because I'm a firm believer that you will have not gone over all the cities that you can go through before the Son of Man comes. Because the essence of this is the last 3.5 years of tribulation. We know this for a fact out of Scripture in Revelation 13. Once that Dark One appears and he's revealed, it will be 3.5 years and then the end will come. Now, a lot of people look at the mid-trib rapture right in the middle of that 7-year tribulation that they have put together. Now, of course, that's if you believe the 70th week of Daniel. I don't worry about the 70th week of Daniel. I'm not worried about a 7-year tribulation. Because you don't find a 7-year tribulation in Scripture. You don't find it in Revelation anywhere. You find 3.5 years. And when we're looking at Matthew, it tells you the sorrows. You have the beginning of sorrows, and then you have sorrows. We have been in the beginning of sorrows, and we're going to be entering into sorrows. That's what it says. But when you see that son of perdition, that beast in Revelation 13, and he is revealed, we know, folks, it's 3.5 years. And the reason I don't get excited about the 7th year is because we have told people that it's only going to be 7 years and then this thing will be over. That's not true. Could be longer. What do you mean, Watchman? Simply this. The only thing we can say for sure, and Mike Heiser and I covered this as well, and he's an expert in these matters as well, and he sees no connection between the 70th week of Daniel and that in Revelation. But see, we've connected it in the dispensationalists. And I say we because I came out of the dispensationalists. I know how they did it. But I'm here to tell you. I got to tell you to be prepared, okay? I got to tell you the truth. I could surely say, well, it's going to be 7 years. Well, we can't prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And people have made this to where they absolutely believe that. And many of them believe they're going to go off, poof, and they're not going to be here. That's not going to happen either. Not the way we've been taught. So this precursor to the Dark One who arises in Revelation 13 can be a lot longer than 7 years. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And then you wind up with the true 3.5 years, which the latter part of that, Revelation, I think it is 16, describes the wrath of God. Now, if there is going to be any kind of a pre-rapture, it would be before or right on Revelation 16, the wrath of God. If. Otherwise, you put it at the end. Nevertheless, there again, I don't get hung up over this. I don't worry about it. The practice for me is, I've got to stay alive. I've got to trust the Lord. I've got my family. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to be a remnant. And we're going to get through this. And I've got to take every day and take care of the issues that day. I got to believe God every day. And when this thing comes down, I have to believe God for food, water, clothing, shelter, safety, guidance. That's what it means to be the remnant. And if they persecute you in this city, hey, I'm going to find another one. That's what the Lord said to do. He goes on to say, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? And that's what they will do. And that's what they do today in Islam, among others. Hindus do the same thing. The radicals. And they're not the only ones. Christianity is a dirty word in America. You don't think it is? You go into a school, start talking about Jesus and preaching from the Word of God. They want Christianity out of the government, out of the schools. They want you to be quiet. If you're a Christian businessman, you don't have a right not to make a wedding cake for two lesbians or two gays. You have no rights because you're a dirty Christian. You're not thinking right. We are thinking right. We are the remnant. And you can hate us, but we're not going to quit. Because we are the truth. We are the truth. We represent the truth. There is only one way to heaven, and we are the ones who testify to that. And we will not bow down to your idol. Because we know the truth. And I'm telling you that God is telling you to have faith and not fear. Verse 26, fear them not therefore. Who? Those who deliver you up. Those who hate you. Those who call you that you're of the devil. Don't fear them. For there is nothing covered, he says, that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. They're not going to be able to cover their own sins. They're not going to be able to hide. I'm going to reveal everything the Lord says. I'm going to come back again. Don't you fear them, he says. And he further says, what I tell you in darkness, that's when you're in that closet and you are praying in that closet and it's dark and you're in there. Maybe you're under the covers of your bed praying, or maybe you have the lights off in the room and you're sitting in your chair praying. What I tell you in darkness through the Spirit, speak in the light. What you hear in the ear from me, I put that in, that preach upon the housetops. Who's he talking to? He just got done saying, fear them not. If I speak to you, if I tell you, you get out there, you preach it from the housetops, in spite of them. And he says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So you got people that hate you. You got people that are delivering you up. You got people that are calling you the devil. And they are they've got swords. They hate you. They will beat you up and kill you if they can get a hold of you. He said, don't you fear them. Because they can't hide from me. There's nothing covered that I will not reveal. And when I tell you something in darkness, you speak it in the light. What you hear in the ear, preach from the housetops. And when you begin to preach, guess what they're going to do? They're going to grab their swords and come running. And he says, don't you fear them. Now this is tough, folks. But I believe unequivocally when these last days happen, there will be a remnant with miracles and signs and wonders, and these people won't even be able to get close. There will be many of them that will be martyred. But there will be two witnesses. And during the last 3.5 year, that 3.5 years figure, they will be there. And fire will come out of their mouth and destroy anybody that tries to hurt them. And they will call all manner of miracles and things upon this earth, turning the waters to blood and every manner of thing, as off as they want to. These will be prophets that you don't mess with. These are prophets that you don't get in their way. These are prophets that represent the judgment of God upon mankind, and they're going to be here for 3.5 years. They will be here preaching. They will be real, heavy-duty, Old Testament prophets, the same kind that have the power of Enoch and Elijah. They will be on this earth. They will be sent there to testify to the Jews and to the world of the evil that's going on. But he says, there are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. You are more value. Folks, we're not supposed to fear. I know it can be trying times, but you don't fear. You say to yourself, I am going to open the door to tomorrow with faith, not fear. You know, and after all of this, he says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now you see, we've gotten the testimonies coming across from the Christians who were caught at Mosul. One particular testimony came out. It was about a man who was caught with his family, and they wanted him to confess the Shahada, which he did, even though he was a Christian, in order to save his children. Well, he got away, and he later, filled full of remorse, went to his bishop, told him what happened. The bishop said, well, you can ask the Lord to forgive you. But you see, this is real. These people, like ISIS, have no qualms. They are hardened soldiers. They believe in one thing. They're not going to change. And they have no qualms about killing you, killing your children, cutting your little daughter's head off, etc., etc. They are bloody. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to be the ones in the end of days, but the ones that are going to be here during the war that the Antichrist, I should say, the beast is going to do in Revelation 13, his army will be just as brutal. See, and if you go into this thing fearing and we've seen it in many, many places over all these years, I followed the persecution of Christians overseas. I've been following it for decades, folks. And I can tell you they do it the same everywhere. I'll kill your kid if you don't confess. I will kill your wife if she don't confess. I will rape. I will do this. I will do that. That's what they do. Whosoever shall confess me before men. This is all about confession. Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's confession. And they loved not their life unto death. This is going to be the choice for many. He goes on to say, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword." Matter of fact, if you don't think this is true, and all the preachers that tell you God is a God of peace and love, they have no clue what they're talking about. Because when the Lord comes back, you read it in Revelation, He will come back to make war. A two-edged sword will come out of His mouth. He's not coming back to give gifts to you. He's not coming back to die on the cross again. He's coming back to slaughter His enemies and bring in the kingdom of God. And He will destroy those who have destroyed the earth. And He's coming as a man of war. As Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Almighty. The Word of God. Make no mistake, hell knows why He's coming back. And the Lord, after all of this, He's telling them, "I have not come to send peace on earth. I've not come to send peace by a sword." And that sword is not only the one out of His mouth, but see, there's going to be a thing, it's written across Him saying, "Word of God." You see, the sword is the Word of God. The Word of God that we read, but the Word of God who is the Son of God. John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was not anything made that was not made by Him." The Word incarnate, the Word of God who's coming again. He has come for a division. He's dividing the wheat from the chaff. The tares and the wheat. The wicked and the righteous. He's not come to patty cake you and say, "Well, it's all right. You know, you can serve me in Muhammad. You can serve me in whatever. You can serve me and mammon. You can serve me in the world. You can serve..." You get the idea. No. It's a sword. It cuts. There's only one Lord, one God. Without Him we can do nothing. He says, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Man's foes shall be those of his own household." But see, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, Luke 4:4, Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God," telling that to the devil. Revelation 19:15, "Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the wrath, fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." Now that's not a picture of someone coming with a gift because you're disobedient. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it." Now see, you don't build churches this way. Not in America. You start telling some of these mamby-pamby folks sitting in some of these honeypot churches, they'd have heart failure. This is dedication. "He that receiveth you," he says, "receiveth me." What does that make you? His emissary. The one that testifies for him. makes you His. He is in you, you are in Him. And when you go to a place and they receive you, they're receiving the Lord. When they, well, come on into my house. Yeah, sure. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And when they do that, they receiveth the Father, because the Father sent the Son. He says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now you see, in all of this, you find out a little bit about how tough it was, or it's going to be. You hear from his mouth all these things. But he sums this up by telling you that in this that you're going to go through, he is in you. Because wherever you go and you are received, they're receiving the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is in you. He's saying, I am with you. And the scripture says that, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And it goes the other way. He that does not receive you does not receive the Lord. There is reward. You are not alone. The devil wants you in fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And just as we said earlier, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we stand on God's word. We pray God's word. We preach. We speak it. We pray it. Because we're not alone. He is in us. And we are that remnant, that testifier. Those who are meeting this end of days head on. And the final verse that I want to touch on, and then we'll talk about some of this other stuff here in a minute, comes out of the Torah. Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now the Lord says this verse here when he was asked about the greatest commandments. And he said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You shall love your neighbors yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He says, for I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. You have been appointed for the end of days. You have been brought here. And if you have been brought here, do you really think he's just going to drop you off? Now you're going to face some things that you probably won't think you're going to get through. Paul was like that. The apostles, they all knew what it was like. They met things they didn't think they're going to come out of it alive. Somehow they did. There will be some that will be delivered and some that won't. But in all of it, the Lord will never forsake us. He will never leave us. even unto death, and into this next world. We are to believe, folks. And we are to look at these end of days and understand that this is a God that can do things. So you need to work on seeking the Lord, fasting and prayer. You need to work on listening, because you want the Lord to make His presence known to you, to guide you. But you got to prepare yourself. You got to think in terms of prudence as well. If you live in the big city, what are you going to do when everything goes down? Wherever you're at, do you know how to get with all your family? You need to get back to some basics. Do you have enough stuff to keep you going for a while? Food, water, you know, whatever. But see, there's also something else that I haven't taught in this, touched on. And that is, we do have a right to protect our family. Now, we're not going to go out and take a gun and hunt down the Muslims and kill them. I'm not going to make war. But I am going to protect my family. And if I am walking by a street, on a street as a Christian, and I see four men raping one woman, am I going to stand there like an idiot and let them do it? No. In these last days, there will be a lot of atrocities. And you got to decide how you're going to live it, how you're going to walk it. Because I can tell you today that if Israel could not protect themselves biblically and according to the law, they would not even exist today. There would not be a Jew left on the face of this earth. David was a man of war. He defeated all of his enemies. But yet, he was a man after God's own heart. Joshua was a man of war. He went after the giants, him and Caleb. Yet Joshua's name is where we actually get Yahshua, or where you today in the English have Jesus, Savior. So you've got decisions to make. You've got things to understand. And you've got to look at yourself, your situation, your family, wherever you're at. You've got to figure out prudently, well laid out plans. If something happens, am I prepared? Now, of course, there comes a time to when all your preparation is not going to do any good. There comes a time when the water runs out, when the food runs out, etc. That's when you have to trust God more than you've ever trusted and believed before. In Psalm 32, 7 and 8, I like this one. Finding direction. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Now you see, going into the end of days, I like to see that God instructing me, teaching me in the way that I need to go and the way I need to walk, and He's guiding me with His eye. He is my hiding place. If I'm surrounded by my enemies, I will be in my hiding place. When all hell breaks loose and there's no escape, he is my hiding place. I will seek him. I will look to him. I will believe. I have purposed in my heart that I'm going to open up the door to tomorrow with faith and not fear. Psalm 100, you know this one really good. Verses 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now the word Lord there is Yahweh. This is the personal covenant name of God. His mercy is everlasting. We are under the banner of his mercy. We use grace, which is accessed by faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But the beginning of that says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, even to us during this end of days. His truth endures to all generations. The same truth that Moses came to know is the same truth you and I can walk in right now. The same mercy that Israel found by getting delivered out of Egypt is the same mercy you and I can believe today through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we have that truth. It endures to all generations. And we are in the end of the generations of man. We're coming to a close. One of these days it's going to be over. But just because you enter into Jacob's trouble, just because you enter into the tribulation, just because you enter into a snare that comes upon the whole world, doesn't mean God is not there. He is not there for the wicked. They have rejected him. But he's there for the believers. Psalm 63:1. This psalm here is when David was in the wilderness of Judah. And of course, most of the time he was trying to get away from Saul, who tried to kill him. He says this, out in the middle of the wilderness, David, who knew no peace for a long time while Saul was trying to kill him, he says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Have you ever gotten to the point to where you just need to sit down and seek the Lord? You've had a tough day, or maybe you didn't have a tough day. Maybe you had a good day. But you just reach that point that you just, something's missing. You need that touch from God. You need to hear. You need, something drives you within you. My soul is thirsting for you, Lord. My flesh longs for you. For I live in a dry and thirsty land. There's no water here. And I don't mean the water out of the tap. I mean the living water. There's only one salvation. There's only one Savior. There's only one Lord. And that's where we find that living water. Verse 3 of that says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, My lips shall praise thee. Now this is a song. You will remember this. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. You see, marrow is that thing within your bones that actually keeps you alive. But if you are a cook and you're using animal bones to make a stock, the marrow is the thing that makes the stock rich. And as you reduce it, the stock gets richer and it becomes like jelly. And you can literally just drink that. The marrow in some places is a delicacy, cooked within the bones itself that are sliced in about 2-inch thickness. So when he says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, that is the richness of the Lord. That is that richness of the supernatural aspects of God in your life. That thing which lifts you up, which fills you with His joy, fills you with His love. You cannot touch this except through the Spirit. You cannot access this but through the Lord. And only we can do it. Do you understand that? And unless you can look in the mirror and you can look at other people and say, this is the only way, then you're going to have trouble getting through this. Because you have to be able to be in the wilderness like David is here. And you need to be able to access the Lord for the living water. You need to be able to access that marrow and fatness of God. That richness of who He is, His essence, which is joy and love and peace and a fulfillment that only can come from Him. But David finishes that psalm by saying this, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, and they shall be a portion for foxes. Now, over in Mosul and in many parts of this earth, there are those that seek to kill Christians, among others. But there, when you get into the essence of the prophecies and the end of days, that one who's coming in Revelation 13 is going to make war, not against Muslims, not against radical Hindus, not against politicians, but against the Christians who keep the commandments of God and the faith and testimony of Jesus Christ. The believers who walk in the very essence of the Word of God and have drawn close to the side of the Lord for these end of days. That's who He's going to make war with. And for all of those Christians who were hypnotized, believe in a lot of this other stuff, they're not going to be ready. Now, in the close of this, I want to give you Psalm 55, verse 12. This is David again. We all have enemies, folks, including some who you'd classify as your friend. This is what David found out. He says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked into the house of God in company. Oh, man. Can I identify with that? In the Christian church in America, we are the only ones that end up burying those who have been injured. We criticize and gossip. We divide ourselves into little groups. And we think the essence of our righteousness is our big fancy churches. And then dress a little religion around our carnalness. But the essence, my friends, is if you have an enemy that comes against you, you can expect it from an enemy. And I can tell you, since we've been doing this, I've had people come up to my house. I've had people call me on the phone. And they'll say, oh, we consider you our pastor. And everything will be nice and fuzzy and loving. And then all of a sudden they betray me. It's not just me. I see this in the church. I know people. I've dealt with people that this has happened with. I don't know why we do this to one another, but we do. Oh, you go down the aisles of the church, and you're praising God one minute and having choruses. Oh, and you think it's so great. Then all of a sudden you find out they're gossiping behind your back about you, saying things about you. Oh, but I'm your friend! That's what David is saying. It wasn't someone that hated me. It wasn't an enemy. But it was you. You were my equal, my guide, my friend. I trusted you. I confided in you. We walked together down the aisles. We sang the same choruses. We listened to the same sermons from the pastor. We would stand out in the foyer. We would talk to one another. We would part and bless one another. We would hug each other and tears would run down our eyes. But it was you who betrayed me. Jesus, it was said of him, he was hurt in the house of his friends. The very place they should have known him. The chief priest betrayed him. The one who's supposed to represent God betrayed him. The Pharisees, who were supposed to have been the representatives of what God was in Israel, and they betrayed him. Paul didn't know. He didn't accept the Lord. He was there consenting to the death of Stephen until God got a hold of his heart. So you better be prepared here. Because the disciple is not above his Lord. I hope you hear what the Spirit is trying to tell you. Because you need to understand that when the enemy works, he doesn't work in the corridors of hell. He will do it in the corridors of the church. And I mean all churches. There's not one that this doesn't go on in. But if he's a good preacher, a pastor, they can discern it. God help us. This is not about Baptists and Assemblies of God and all the rest of them. This is about we are brethren. We're to love. And we're all going through this. So it's high time we woke up. But you know what? They won't. Many will not. David says in 55:16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." Now you see, when you call upon the Lord, you call upon him early in the morning, and you pray evening, morning, and at noon, three times a day. You add a little fasting with that, and that's the formula biblically. How long, how much you pray, that's up to you. But I'm telling you from the scripture, that's what it should be. God help us. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Bless your word to those who have heard it. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from distorting this word in any way, shape, or form from those who have heard it. Oh, dear God, move in the hearts of your people and help them, oh, Lord, to be prepared. May they truly see you, oh, Lord. For you are Lord, and you will not depart from us. Even though we're unfaithful, you're not. You are faithful even when we are not. Oh, God, move in our hearts through Christ Jesus. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Tower. Now, we've got about 6 minutes left. And that gives you three parts to this series. And we're going to be prepared.
Amen. That's a very encouraging word tonight, Dana. Thank you.
Well,
and we better be prepared. This is a must-re-listen to. These three parts need to be re-listened to again. It always strengthens you and encourages you. And you always get something new out of it when you listen.
Well, I would rather be preparing for retirement and living in a cabin beneath the mountains with a stream and a nice little open pasture where deer come up in the evening, where I could barbecue in the cool, crisp air, go on and put a log on the fire and sit in my rocking chair, let the old dog lay out in front of the fire and let Mama come up and we can drink a cup of hot tea or something. Yeah, no.
That's not even reality for me.
Nope. We are preparing for war.
Yes, we are.
We are preparing for darkness itself to descend. And in that darkness we shall be the light, and our God shall be with us. Why do you think they wrote the song, Onward Christian Soldiers? Marching as if to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Now see, during the Crusades, they literally did that. But I ain't marching to a war to kill people. I'm marching into the midst of the battle by faith. And the scripture that Paul says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Folks, let us stand.
Amen.
Yep. So at any rate, I'm glad that you joined us tonight. And I don't know. You know, there's many a time I'd like to have been with David. Because he was a man that you would have wanted to be around.
Oh, yes.
You know, and he did, you know, he wasn't perfect, but, you know, he gets out there in the middle of nowhere and he writes these psalms because it flows out of his heart. And he sings these songs. He sits there in that cave or, you know, with his men and they hear David singing and they get encouraged because he's talking about it. So they're there encouraging one another as Saul is beating the pastures and the hills to find David to kill him. Oh.
And the Lord protected him every time.
He did.
And he died in old age.
He did. And his son assumed one of the biggest thrones in the time and era of the biggest, grandest display of the blessing of God through the reign of Solomon. When Israel was under the reign of Solomon, that represented the zenith, the top of what God was doing for Israel. Right after that, because of Solomon's sin, the kingdom was broken into two separate kingdoms. Now, Israel still looks to go back to that kingdom like Solomon had. But Solomon...
Well, I think they're preparing to do that.
But. Yeah. Well, what they don't understand is the Messiah has already come. He is coming again. And one greater than Solomon is here. Although Solomon was a type, his kingdom was a type, yet the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, he's greater than Solomon.
Oh, and, amen.
And his kingdom will destroy all other kingdoms, bring them down, and his kingdom will have no end to it. And we will rule and reign with him 1,000 years.
Oh, that's exciting to think about. I get goosebumps thinking about that. I can hardly wait. But it'll be over soon enough. And we'll be glad. We'll be rejoicing with the Lord. Never, ever to depart from him again.
Well, I can tell you that there are people not saved yet that are going to be saved. That there are those out there that will be saved. God is not done. Our voices must be heard. Well, 37 seconds. We're going to have to go, Tower.
Okay, well, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. God be with you and enjoy your Sabbath rest.
Yes, good night. Shalom, everybody.
We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.